Let's get our Bibles out, though. It's a great place to start. We're going to look at some scripture in the New Testament. So 1 Timothy is where we want to go. We'll spend a lot of time there if you want to put a marker in there. Spend a little bit of time in Matthew. If you got, you know, those double markers like my Bible, you got the two, you know, things in there. Here you go. So 1 Timothy and then Matthew. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. Verse 25, in the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. I was just going through my devotionals, just reading through this. So it's just two verses, and it just really spoke to me. It's like, whoa, I got to just spend some time on this verse here for a second. So we see in verse 24, the ones that we don't like to talk about. When we think about, now I'm not picking on a side of the room, just be, you know, be okay with this side of the room today and that side of the room. Just a spectrum kind of idea here. So on this side of the spectrum, not this room, is that it says that the sins are obvious. We don't need to look very hard or very far to find sins in people. Man, look in the mirror. Come on, don't be judging people. Look at yourself for a second there. There's other sins, though, that trail behind us that we're kind of a little bit like, not sure I want to own that one yet, or I'm not ready to deal with that yet. Or honestly, this is really transparent. As you grow and mature and more of you is stripped away and more of Jesus can come out of you, the Holy Spirit, you realize actually like, ugh. That's kind of ugly. But God doesn't point them all out to you. Otherwise, you'd really want to give up. He just slowly shows them to you, right? And so you see some sins that you weren't even aware of. You're like, oh, actually, that is sinful. I've been doing that for years. You see that. It's the same, though. So, okay, let's not get too hung up on that. The same in the next verse, all right? There's good deeds that we do that are obvious. People see you. That when you're not in the room, they talk about you. They say, oh, I know that person. I know their good deeds. All the positive, right? And then there's some good deeds that we do that we're like, shh, you want to do something. Like, you know, we've had some fun doing this over the years. You buy a gift card, and then you go to a party, or you're at church. Oh, we've done this. This is fun. Then you just slip in their jacket. Don't say anything. Just put it in there. You know they're going through a hard time. Then you know they need some groceries. Put it in there. And you don't tell anybody. Like, that's kind of fun, right? And so those good deeds at some point will be recognized because they'll be like, oh, who is sitting behind me? This, you know, where, you know, whatever. They start kind of putting two and two together. Or it might be, you know, not in secret. That's not used. That's not a good biblical word. But it might be hidden until the day of your passing, until the day of judgment of God. And go, I saw. Right? And you'll be recognized for your good deeds. So either way, there's some spectrum here. So my prayer is for church, not even just for this church, but that for church, for Christians, for Christianity, for those that follow the way, for those that love Jesus, that our good deeds would be very evident to this community. So that wherever you went, whether it's your workplace or you're just gassing up, you know, or for me, I've shared this a lot. There's some physical problems with my old dinosaur body, and I'm having to go see the doctors. But as we interact even with doctors that we, you know, we wouldn't normally, that our good deeds would be obvious to people. There would be something about that guy. You know, when I grew up in Prince Rupert for the first 23 years of my life, God and Christianity was like a swear word. And so there was this guy, though. Out of all my buddies, I thought, something about this guy. There's all this light in him. There was these good deeds in him. There was just this way that he carried himself. I said, well, there's something about that guy. I want to be like that guy. And I wasn't attracted to him. Obviously, I'm attracted to God and the Word, but it was what was inside of him that was obvious. His good deeds were obvious. And I thought, man, we want to be like that. There's even some people that I know, some neighbors that I've had over the years. I'm thinking, he must be Christian because of his good deeds are so obvious. And sometimes I find out they aren't. And I'm like, he would make a good Christian, you know, because his good deeds are so obvious. And so as a church, though, again, I just really want us to be mindful of that. Let's just let our good deeds really affect this community. I mean, less than 20,000 people, most people know each other. I hope we're known for people that are generous and do good deeds. Oh, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? So let's continue in Timothy, because the Apostle Paul is like teaching Timothy some things, and I think we can learn some biblical principles here. And the Bible's chock full of wonderful verses, but 3:16 is a good verse. And you can look in most books, 3:16 is actually a good verse in a lot of them. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. I like that one. Rebuking, ooh, that's a little bit kind of harsh. Correcting, ouch, you know where that come from. And training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, every good deed. Listen to that scripture there. God has taught us something over the years, and we've taken a biblical principle away from this. When you deal with somebody or your child that's acting up, how do you deal with them? Usually it's like something like, you know, okay, we got to talk about the situation. I love you. Just let's remember that. Have you ever had that conversation with somebody? Like, oh, yes, how are you doing? How's it going? Then all of a sudden, they want to deal with the issue. Like, yeah, I've got to correct something or rebuke something in you. And then we sandwich it with it at the end, but I love you. This is going to hurt you more than me. You know, the kind of conversation, right? We do that all the time. It's a biblical thing that we've learned over the years because the Apostle Paul wrote it down through God's Holy Spirit, and then we get to learn from it, the sandwich technique. It's the same thing right here we see so clearly. The word of the God-breathed word is here to do a couple things for us so that in verse 17, we may be equipped to do good works. If you don't do the prior, you're not going to do good works. You're going to be offended. You're going to be upset. You're going to be frustrated. Your eyes are going to be on all the stuff and not on good deeds. So how are we going to get to good deeds? You know, Pastor, tell me about all these good stories, about all these good deeds. Oh, I know how to do good deeds. But really, like being a parent of them, we allow the word of God to do TNT to us, teaching and training. We're doing that right now. We came early to the Bible study. You listen to podcasts at home. You read the word of God. It's training and teaching you to do good works. But it also, be careful, I'm not giving you permission to do this. It's also there to, woohoo, fun, rebuking and correcting. It's like, oh, I don't want that. Have you ever been rebuked by God, though? You're just going through your life, and God, you just feel like you get smacked in the head. Oh, God, what are you? Oh, actually, yeah, I'm out to lunch on that idea. Or my thoughts are out to lunch, and God kind of cuffs you upside down, gets your attention, because it's there for that reason. You ever been reading scripture, and all of a sudden you're like, whew, I got to change my attitude, right? There's this kind of correcting that comes from the word of God. And as we allow that to happen, as we speak truth, then we're equipped to do good works. It will naturally come out of you. If you're like waking up every morning, okay, do good works, good works, do good works, you know, like it's going to fail. But if you're allowing this thing to train you and to teach you and to even correct and rebuke you at times in life, we need that. We need a good kick in the rear end every so often so that we as Christianity, as Christians, can do good works. I'll take a rebuke any day. Now, I'm not giving you permission to do that. I just want to correct that, you know, in Jesus' name. But, you know, we'll do that all the time. And so when I looked at this word here in this verse, verse 17, for every good work, what is that good deed? And so I'll kind of hack this up a bit, this Greek word here, E-R-G-O-N. And it's not like from a movie or something you're going, but it's like every job or task, every activity, so that we're equipped to do the job or task that God's created for us. That's a deep thought if you think about it. If I wonder if the world got a grip of that and realized that God has written a book for my life that's full of goodness and good deeds versus the other, just a freak accident, you know, from some soup. I just came into this world by, you know, random selection chance. That's a bunch of hocus pocus. But if they realize that we all had a good plan for our lives, that maybe you're in the chapter right now where my physical body is, where I'm like, I hate this chapter. I just want to rip it out. And you're going through a season, and you're like, oh, please, let's get to the next subheading and verses so that I can get back to the good deeds that I would like in my life. Or the next chapter of your life. Maybe you're like, I need a whole new chapter. This chapter has been horrible. And I wonder what the next verses would be, or the subheading of the next chapter of your life. Wouldn't that be exciting? And if the world could get a hold of that and realize that there's a plan and a purpose for their lives, I think people live a little bit differently. That's my personal opinion on that thought. Let's go just a bit further here. So we got three. Three is good, right? So we got three different scriptures here from Timothy about this good work idea. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work, any good deed, any task that God has for you. If, again, we allow from what we just read about this thing to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and if we allow it to cleanse us. Whoa, we need cleansing sometimes, don't we? Because sometimes when we live in our obvious sin, it's obvious to other people, unfortunately, and to ourselves, our sin. That's not good. I'm working on it, Pastor. I'm trying. Then there's some other sins that we have in our lives where, like, nobody knows. And I want to just go down just a quick rabbit trail for a second. I want to encourage you with a thought for a second. You can't live with hidden sin very well. You'll have a real hard time doing good deeds if you live with hidden sin in your life. It's diminishing what Jesus did on the cross for you. Saying Jesus died for all the sin and sickness and disease that we have so that I can be free. But sometimes we'll say this, we'll say, I can't deal with that and I don't know if I'll ever deal with it. I might take that to the grave. It's like you're hanging on to poison and God is saying, I want to free you from that so that you can do good deeds. You got to allow God to deal with that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you just get up right now and I'll have a piece of cake. But I'm just saying allow God to work that out as he's teaching, training, equipping. I'm not rebuking that, but you know what I'm saying? That's got to be on the table for discussion at some point. Please, in Jesus' name, I've counseled so many people that hang on and can't let it go. It's not torturing anybody but you. Not in a physical sense. It's torturing you mentally. It's torturing you internally in your mind and your thoughts. I just need to say that. I know it's a bit of a off what I'm trying to say, but it is so important for us to understand that as believers. If there's any other reason for us to be free, it's all right here. The world doesn't have that. We have it in abundance. Get free. Get saved. Anyways, I want to go down that road just for a second. Let me share a couple stories with you for fun. Now, I don't want to use names, and some of you are going to pick up on who I'm talking about, and that's okay. But I want to be respectful and just share some stories with you. Okay, so there's two families that go out mushroom picking. It was a good season to go mushroom picking, wasn't it? You know, it was nice and warm and all that kind of stuff. And so one family goes on one side of the road and one family goes on the other side of the road. They go through their bush, they come out, and the one family is probably just a better picker. They got bags of it. The other family is new, they're not good, they're probably stepping on mushrooms on the path. And the other family looks, they be generous and give another bag to the other family, so it's a bit equal. And so they go to the buyer and they've got about an equal amount of money. The family that didn't get very much thought, whoa, that family was pretty generous to me. Maybe I should be generous in return. And, oh, there's this fall carnival thing coming up. They need some candy. I'm going to buy some candy with that money. So they give some candy. Well, now the fall carnival has an obscene amount of candy, and your kids are still eating. I apologize for that. But we still have candy your kids are going to go home with in the next month and two, just so you know that. We're just going to clarify that right away. And all this candy is in the house. And so these kids, did you know over 250 kids came to the fall carnival, plus all their parents, that kind of stuff. So it was brilliant. And so they ate all this candy. That was awesome too. And then they went home. And the next night there was youth group. And then the next night was a kids ministry. And some of those kids that have never stepped foot in a church or never been part of a youth group or anything attended those events for the very first time. They heard the gospel, and they're being impacted by somebody picking a flipping mushroom, for crying out loud. Do you see the ripple effect of a good deed? It just keeps on going. It just keeps on giving. A good deed is like when you're at the swimming pool, which I love to do. I do cannonballs, and I'm like, I want to get the wall wet, I want to get the roof wet, and I want to get that lady over there sitting there trying to sunbathe wet. Just like, kabow! They want it to affect everything. Have you ever been to the West Edmonton Mall when you're all standing there like a bunch of penguins, like a bunch of yahoos, just waiting for the wave pool to kick on, right? There's a siren. All of a sudden, the wave pool starts kicking in. People are hitting you. People on, you're getting zonked. You can't avoid it. You can't be in the wave pool and just stand there. Like, it's impossible. It's the same with a good deed. When it goes in and it goes out, it affects so much, and it never stops. That mushroom, that piece of candy had so much impact, and it's just going to keep going. These kids are going to get impacted. Somebody else is going to hear about it. Do you see the impact of a good deed? We, as a church, many churches do this. We collect shoeboxes. I forgot to bring one up here. A little Samaritan's Purse shoebox, so it's filled with toys. Maybe some candy. We should put some candy in there this year, right? We got lots of candy. Jam it full of candy. And so throughout the year, there's these people that are just waiting for the sales to go on at certain businesses. And like, oh, it's on sale for 25 cents. Let's just buy 50 of them. Get 100 of them. You go to get your teeth done at the dentist, and you're like, they're like, oh, would you like a little a rubber ball or something? You're like, no, I want 12 toothbrushes because I want to put it in the shoebox so some kid can get it overseas or whatever that looks like. And so you're collecting all this stuff every year, and then you're meeting every Thursday at the church, and you're packing hundreds and hundreds of boxes so they can go overseas so some kid can open it overseas and go, candy. No, they wouldn't be like, oh, toothbrush. They're going to be like, candy, right? They're going to want that, right, first. And so they open it up, and then they're invited to a VBS or some kind of church event. Did you know 1 out of 10 shoeboxes equals a salvation? 1 in 10. Holy smokes. This church sends on average over 500. That's like, I can't even do the math right now. Anyway, it's a lot of kids. I'm joking. It's 50, right? Come on, brain. Who's with me? You're with me. So like 50 kids every year get saved because somebody gave a toothbrush. Or some leftover candy. Or that spar soap you didn't like. That's a smelly one. Give that to the kid, right? Donate it away. But they get saved. And then that kid comes. Usually their parents will start coming. They start planting churches. Somebody gave a bar of soap. Do you see the ripple effect of a good deed, for crying out loud? Hallelujah. Come on. Like, that's brilliant. Let's hear another one here. We got one more. This would be good. Wood cutting work bee a couple weeks ago. That was awesome, wasn't it? You fall a tree, like a big old tree, and there's this wood chipper, and you get to just feed it in there. And it just turns into sawdust. You're like, that was just cool, You're having fun out there. We're chopping trees down. There's trees on, like, there's power lines. There's trees, like, on the power line. We should probably deal with that, eh? So we cut all those back. Had a great time together. We're chopping wood like crazy. Well, the neighbor, we realized, isn't able to cut wood very well, very easily anymore. So somebody just happened to have like a big excavator bucket truck thing. We just loaded it full. And we did it once. We did twice, three, four times. We just like, let's just give tons of wood to the neighbor. He's got enough wood for 5 years. I'm joking. But we just donated all this wood next door to somebody. And then we're just cutting the trees down. We're having a good time. And then obviously we got hungry. 30 guys. We've got to eat. And so this guy happens to show up who's got a food truck, happens to feed us. There's so much food in abundance. I think somebody, I don't know who prayed over that lunch. It just multiplied, man. It was just like an obscene amount of meat. And so we all went home with like a take-home little plastic container. I just had some the other day still. It was delicious. Do you see the ripple effect of a good deed? You gave up a Saturday to chop wood. Do you realize that when the caretaker's in his house counseling somebody in his warm, snuggly home with all the nice firewood, or he's writing a sermon for the next thing. You get to play a part in that because of somebody's good deed, because you cut some wood. And you ate well, too. I mean, let's be honest, right? That's awesome. But sometimes I think we have a hard time telling those stories to each other. Right? We always let it go to our head. We're thinking, oh, don't say that about me. You know, get all awkward. It was the Lord. It was somebody else. We get awkward because we don't want our reward on earth. So unbiblical. I'm going to show you that in a second. And we think, I only want rewards in heaven. And, I don't want any reward here. Don't ever, oh, no, wasn't me. We get awkward. I tell you, I got awkward. District conference. Opening sermon, opening message. Ken Russell, our district superintendent, gets up. And he goes, hey, there's some things I just want to say and, some people I want to recognize. Like three people he recognized. He said, I want to recognize Pastor Rob of the Pentecostal Church this morning of the good things that he and his church is doing. I felt a little awkward. I'm sitting there by myself. Pastor Ben, you're on my left. My wife's on my right. And I'm just kind of looking down. I'm thinking, I don't even know how to handle this. Because somebody's like recognizing me from the platform. I'm thinking, whoa. And so after it's all over, that session, I'm walking, people are interacting with me. They're like, oh, Pastor, that was great to hear about you. And I'm like, yeah, I paid him to say that. Just to kind of lighten up the conversation. Because it's awkward, right? I'm not like, yeah, you're right. Terrace Pentecostal, you're hitting a home run up there, yeah? Like, you don't want to get all arrogant about it. But I think we do ourselves a disservice when we don't even say, look what God is doing, and we just kind of play it lightly. We do that so often in life, and we don't say anything good about each other. Just cut each other down. That's brutal. We got to stop that. It's a tendency that we have, though, because I'll use the Fall Carnival as an example. We're going to debrief about the Fall Carnival. I already have thoughts in my head. I think we need to put lids on the coffee cups because there's so much spilled coffee over there. It's ridiculous. Don't give so much candy next year. We got some leftovers. Don't be so generous. I don't know. We think about the things that didn't go well. And we don't even spend much time on thinking about the things that went well. Man, kids came, their parents came, we loved on them, we prayed with some people, we were able to bless their community. We don't even talk like that. Or we just say, yeah, it's okay. Like, it's ridiculous. Why do we do that? Why are we wired that way? And I think it's because of some scripture I want to share with you in just a moment. We're almost there, I promise. I'm going to get there. But I got to share a couple things before we get there. This is so important, though, because remember I told you to go to Matthew. Let's go there now, Matthew chapter 6. Because I think we get this wrong, and I want to correct us in our thinking right now. So we've done some training, some teaching right now, but I want to use this piece of scripture. The reason it was written is to kind of bring some correction to us. So Matthew chapter 6, subheading says, giving to the needy. It says here, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I think that's where we all land sometimes, just biblically. Oh, yeah, we don't want to be any recognition. But here's, you got to understand the whole teaching here. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. I think we misunderstand that scripture. Because the stories I just shared with you, again, you know who they are. Some people are sitting here like, I know that was me and I did that. And it would be like you coming up and like, that story Pastor Rob just shared, that was me. Like, I was that awesome guy that was super generous and super amazing. Like, you get a microphone, it says, from a trumpet, like, oh, right? Really loud. Or it says you go out onto the streets and the byways and you got a big old sign, I'm generous, look at me. Big sign pointing at yourself. Like, you got a big bulletin board with your face on, most generous guy in Terrace. Hallelujah, praise God. Like, that's what it's talking about. It's saying if you promote yourself, your reward is full here. That's all you're going to get. So don't go around shooting your own horn. But it has nothing to say about recognizing somebody else's good deed, for crying out loud. Build each other up. We need that more and more in our day right now. We don't need to be doing the opposite. We don't need to be on this side of the fence. Oh, it's all sinful and we're all a mess. You know, the whole world's going to, you know. Look at what God is up to. Look at the things that God is doing in and through his people. Let's celebrate those things together. If we could get that, if we could just make a bit of a mind shift on that one, I think things would go a lot better. We still got two pages. I'm just getting warmed up. This is fun. I'm having a great time with you. Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 3 what? 16. Come on, 3:16. Great verses. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. Verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." Do you see what it doesn't say when Jesus goes, he's about to go into ministry. The very first thing he does is gets water baptized. It's a brilliant thing to do. You should all do it. And God looks down at his Son. He looks at God, his Son. He says, "I love this guy and I'm well pleased with him." What doesn't it say? It doesn't say Jesus goes, "What? God, you know, just I don't want that to go to my head. You know, don't say those things about me. Keep it down up there. I don't want these people to think I'm somebody special." Does it say that? Absolutely not. You can't find that anywhere in Scripture. God is recognizing God so that we have an understanding of what good deeds and recognize and promoting each other looks like. That's a good thing. Isn't that just a fun thought to think about? God in heaven recognizes Jesus, who's perfect. He doesn't need to remind him. "I am well pleased with the perfect guy down there. He's doing a good job." He does that for our benefit, I think. I mean, there's lots of reasons why. It's just my own interpretation on that one. Look what else it says here. My own interpretation. That's not terrible. I shouldn't say those kind of things. I'm on camera, too. That's terrible. But I hope you get the principle of what that's saying. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. This is Peter, just rambling on, won't be quiet. So the cloud has to, like, shut him up. "Hey, Peter, just be quiet over there." And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with him." Three words, listen to him. Exclamation point. Listen to him! This guy I'm well pleased with, and I love him very much. Again, Jesus, what did Jesus do in front of John and the other disciples? You know, all these kind of, "Oh, God, you know, keep it down up there. I don't want these disciples to think I don't want that to go to my head." Like, no! No, no, no. God is saying, "I need to make sure this is clear who this guy is, and I'm going to recognize him." Man, we got to do that for one another. I think we can do a way better job at that. Instead of criticizing each other, we can love on each other, build each other up, encourage each other, point out each other's good stuff. So just a quick recap. Let's go back to Timothy. Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. The sins of some men are obvious. Reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, the sins of others will trail behind them. Everybody will be judged for their sin at some point. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, even those that are not cannot be hidden. It reminded me when I read this, because my first thought came to my mind as I was reading this and kind of preparing for it. It was like, well, I don't think I'm in a good situation, maybe mentally. I don't know if I'm in a good place to do good deeds. That sounds like that's going to cost me something financially. I'm a pretty busy guy. I don't have time for that. Some excuses we might give of why we can't do good deeds. And it reminded me of what I was just teaching you in the Word of God. It's just something we should always be doing. But then it also reminded me historically of this church approaching 88 years. Isn't that awesome to think about? Yes, that is a good deed. Amen. And so when we look back to the historical document of this church, we look back to 1935 and our very first pastor, who was around when John was around, I think, I don't know, 1935, there's a couple of us that were, and so he was around for a couple years and he pastored, and this is what it said about him, and I really believe that this is what our church is about as well, that we got to continue to do things like this. Let's read it to not together, but I'll read it here for you. Right in the first page. It's just brilliant. We've got to find it now. Where is it? It was so good, I lost it. Yeah. Let me just read it from here because I wrote it out. A little bit that was given in the Sunday's service offering plate was not enough to keep the family going. There was a wife and a couple kids. The church members would often give them extra food and produce that they may have had. Then vice versa. So the church was making sure that the pastor was okay. The pastor took what little he had, was known for helping out and encouraging people in their need. The Lindleys were known for their very simple living and their strong impact on the lives of the congregation and its members. What little the church has, small church, didn't have a lot to pay the pastor. What little he had, you know, just to keep the lights on, keep food on the table. The church helped him take care of those things. John Lindley also had the heart and the attitude of like, what little I have, I'm going to invite those into my home. I'm going to share that with them. Man, I hope that's the desire of our hearts as well. If you think you've got a lot or a little, man, you can share it with people. You have, honestly, a lot. You are rich in Jesus. You have so much to share with people. Please be willing to share it. I pray in Jesus' name our church would be like that, would be the most generous people. Isn't that a wonderful thought, how much impact that we could have so that this service, this teaching, this training would just cause a ripple effect of good deeds in our community. So people would walk around and hear about like, you know, they'd hear about like, oh, that person, I like, they're full of good deeds. I bet you they go to church, for crying out loud. I don't want to just say the Pentecostal church, just church in general, that they must be Christian. Wouldn't that be just a great thought? What a way to impact our community, just to love on people. So let me just close our time together in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, this morning, just so grateful for your word. So thankful for your truth. God, I just pray our church would continue to grow and to change and to be more generous and full of good deeds. I pray that we would be more and more focused on others and not ourselves. I pray that we would be more sensitive to your Holy Spirit as you speak to us and encourage us to go and do something, that we would just be obedient. Lord, we want to impact this community, not for ourselves, not for the Pentecostal name, but for Jesus. We want to be people that are full of good deeds, that just go around and operate in good deeds. So help us to do that, Lord. We can't do that on our own. And we just praise you. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.